News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening. Welcome to this edition of Northeast Diary. As we journey through the fascinating northeastern part of India, every episode brings new insights and stories. So, here is a glimpse of what we have in store for you today. In this episode, we will learn about the significance of Nupi Lal Day, observed in Manipur to commemorate the brave women who fought against British oppression. We will also delve into the life and culture of the Tea Garden community in Assam. Additionally, we will talk about Commune's Spoken Fest, recently hosted at the iconic Watts Lake in Shillong, and the Winter Flower Festival 2024, which was recently held in Aizawl City. But first, let's take a look at the conclusion of the 25th edition of Nagaland's iconic Hornbill Festival, which drew lakhs of visitors from around the world to witness the cultural unity of the state, celebrating the rich heritage and diverse traditions of its many tribes. The annual festival brought together all 18 tribes of Nagaland, offering visitors a spectacular showcase of the Naga way of life, local cuisines, music and dance. Here is more from our Kohima correspondent.
After 10 days of vibrant cultural and musical extravaganza, the Hornbill Festival 2024 culminated with a grand closing ceremony at Naga Heritage Village Kisama on December 10. Festival host and Minister of Tourism Temjon Imna Along, delivering the closing address, expressed gratitude to all for the excellent celebration.
We are thankful to all the people of Nagaland taking ownership of one's best that we could build the brand of Nagaland through the Hornbill Festival. Hamare desh ki kitne log yahan aaye hue hain, Bharat ki अलग अलग राज्य से आप सबों को नमस्कार धन्यवाद हम समझते हैं कि आप जब जाएंगे हमारी सोचबूझ को समझ के यहाँ की अच्छाइयों को ले जाके यहाँ की हर वातावरण के बारे में आप सही तरीका से अपने लोगों के बीच में रखेंगे वी से ए डे इन द हॉर्नबिल एट किसामा is a lifetime to be lived.
Later, Minister Imna Along, reigning Miss Nagaland, Anand Konyak and other dignitaries lit the ceremonial bonfire to mark the closing of the Hornbill Festival 2024. The evening gala also witnessed colorful cultural and musical performances with California-based reggae band Big Mountain and other artists enthralling the gathering. Over the 10 days, the Festival of Festivals displayed mesmerizing cultural presentations besides several other attractions like handloom and crafts, traditional stone pulling, heritage walks, film festival, international hornbill Naga wrestling, and Toyota Hornbill Music Festival at Kisama and across different parts of the state. The milestone celebration also displayed a collaborative cultural experience with Japan, the USA, Wales and Peru as country partners, as well as Sikkim and Telangana as partner states. The Tourism Department's headliner event showcased an extraordinary blend of ethnic traditions and digital progress as it featured various technology-driven initiatives at the revamped Naga Heritage Village. It also drew commendation from Prime Minister Narendra Modi for its emphasis on waste management and sustainability. This silver edition of the Hornbill Festival drew more than 2 lakh registered visitors from across the world to celebrate the vibrant culture of Nagaland, further accenting its repute as a premier global cultural festival and leaving visitors with memories to last a lifetime. For Northeast Diary, this is Mary Mayase from Akashwani News, Kohima.
Mizoram, with its moderate climate, is home to a diverse range of flora and fauna. Along with its scenic beauty, the state is enriched by various species of plants and animals. Churches and government offices are beautifully decorated with a variety of flowers. Let's hear more from our Aizawl correspondent.
With the aim of empowering the women folks who are engaged in floriculture, a four-day-long winter flower festival was recently held at Vanapa Hall in the heart of Aizawl City. The festival, organized by Pangparzuar Association PPZA, has attracted hundreds of visitors. Mizoram is famous for florists who are emerging and have attained considerable development into the beautification of their surroundings through the flowers and plants that they grow. These flowers and exhibitions and fairs are a great platform for florists to promote an opportunity to sell and display their various flowers. According to PPZA member Pizorini, a large number of people attended the four-day winter flower festival. According to her, many families rely on the sale of flower for their livelihood, and the event also benefit the participants.
The purpose mainly is to create festive atmosphere to the public, because winter is coming up and Christmas is coming up, and everybody is in that festive mood already. So this, I think, organizing this fair will give that purpose. We think that that's why we create this. We have been working all the year very hard to create this opportunity so that they can spend Christmas in a festive mood and in a happy mood also, to provide for their family and all.
There are around 60 to 70 members with the Pangparzuar Association PPZA, and the flower festival is conducted every year. Different varieties of flowers are exported from Mizoram each year. Mizoram is home of rich variety of flora and fauna distributed in its lush green, diversified terrain with steep slopes separated by rivers rolling towards north and south. For Northeast Diary, this is Isaac from Akashvani, Aizawl.
The Madhubankal Village Committee under the Rubaichari block in South Tripura has been awarded the Deen Dayal Upadhyay Panchayat Satat Vikas Puraskar under the National Panchayat Award 2024, recognized as the best women-friendly panchayat in the country. It has won a prize of Rupee 1 crore. Abhijit Majumdar and the BDO of Rupaichari RD Block, South Tripura District, spoke about the extensive activities carried out by women and panchayat workers for the socio-economic development of the women in this village.
I am extremely delighted to share with all of you the information that South Madhubankal Village Committee of Rupaichari RD Block has been selected as the best women-friendly panchayat in the National Panchayat Award 2024. This Panchayat Award is given every year. So this year in this category we have been selected on behalf of the people of South Manavankul Village Committee. I would like to express my sincere gratitude to Ministry of Panchayati Raj for recognizing our efforts in this direction. This award is for the hard work of our didis, of our panchayat workers, who have done tremendous work on the field in terms of women empowerment. And also, I'm thankful to the Directorate of Panchayat. Whenever we needed anything, they were always with us. And also, all the people of South Manavankul, they were on board with us for everything. And this is just the reflection of that commitment, that hard work. And this award will truly inspire us for working better in future and to reach to new heights and create new benchmarks, because as you know that women empowerment is the key to the socio-economic development of the country.
A historic moment unfolded at Shillong's iconic Wards Lake as the renowned Commune Spoke Fest made its debut in the Northeast. The festival, which started in Mumbai, expanded its horizons this season through collaboration with Meghalaya Tourism. A report.
Asia's largest spoken word festival brought together a vibrant mix of poetry, music and storytelling resonating with an enthusiastic audience from all walks of life. People of all ages gathered to celebrate the boundless power of creative expression. The inaugural edition of the Spoken Fest in the region sought to embrace India's diverse and deeply rooted storytelling traditions. It fostered a rich cultural exchange while beautifully capturing the essence of Meghalaya. Spanning 2 days, the festival, which concluded on December 7th, gave budding poets and writers a platform to share their narratives with the public. It also spotlighted Meghalaya's rich oral tradition of storytelling, allowing attendees to experience unfiltered stories in their purest form. Tourism Minister Paul Lingdor expressed his excitement over Shillong hosting the festival, noting that experiential tourism and the arts were getting a fresh boost in the state. He emphasized the deep connection between the indigenous tribes of Meghalaya and the art of oral storytelling, which predated the written word.
This event will give our young budding poets and artists, musicians, a huge platform, and this will certainly help the cultural exchange. Storytelling has been a very important forte of our culture, and certainly taking this across the state would help the rest of the world to unravel Meghalaya.
The event featured stages crafted from bamboo, jute and traditional Jainsam cloth, paying homage to the sustainable ethos of Shillong, blending nature and culture. Attendees also enjoyed a thoughtfully curated selection of local delicacies, offering a true taste of Meghalaya. Commune's founder Roshan Abbas shared that the platform, established in 2017, was created to offer young artists, whether poets, writers or musicians, a chance to showcase their talents.
We started Commune around 2017. It was a platform to promote young artists, whether they were writers or poets or musicians. We started from Bombay, and then suddenly over 2 years we became like extremely popular on YouTube, because young people were telling their stories and people loved that. And then poetry was also something which they loved to express themselves in. So that's how Commune started. And then after about 2017, I remember when we had about 100,000 people on our page, we were like, maybe people would like to come and gather. So we did our first festival in Bombay, and that had like some 5,000-7,000 people who turned up for the very first one. And then the festival has grown over the last so many years.
Abbas also revealed that the collaboration with Meghalaya Tourism stemmed from the involvement in the Cherry Blossom Festival. The tourism department expressed great enthusiasm in hosting Spoken Fest in Shillong, recognizing its value in fostering a unique cultural dialogue. The event left a lasting impression, bridging heritage and modernity, and celebrated creativity in its purest form. Spoken Fest in Shillong wasn't just an artistic gathering, it was a vibrant cultural exchange that connected people through the timeless art of storytelling. That's all for now from Shillong, where the echoes of the spoken word continue to resonate. This is Abhishek Mukhopadhyay with Lamfrang Nongspang, reporting for Northeast Diary from Akashvani News, Shillong.
The tea industry is one of India's oldest and most organized sectors. The tea produced in India is among the finest in the world, thanks to its favorable geographical factors, significant investments in tea processing units, continuous innovations, and strategic market expansion. Assam and West Bengal are the leading tea-producing states in India, with Assam being globally renowned for its exceptional tea quality. Tea plantations in Assam have historic roots dating back to the colonial era. The industry has become an integral part of Assam's way of life, significantly contributing to the socio-economic development of the state. It is the hard work and the dedication of the tea garden workers that have shaped today's tea industry and earned India global recognition as a leading tea producer. Let's take a closer look at the life and culture of Assam's tea garden community.
In the early part of the 19th century, the British explorers and adventurers, in course of their search for a suitable colony, landed up in Assam, which had not yet gone under the British rule, and it was in Assam that they struck gold. It was a momentous time for Assam. Those years saw political instability in the once powerful Ahom kingdom, torn apart by bitter internal strife. Besides, three successive invasions by the Burmese had completely devastated this wondrous land. The British army defeated the Burmese and drove them out of Assam, and through the Treaty of Yandabo on 24th February 1826, they brought Assam under the British rule. W. R. Gawthorpe, the author of The History of Assam Railway and Trading Company, said, "When Assam first came under British rule, it possessed four great assets: land, rivers, forests, and minerals, all awaiting development. However, the availability of labor, another important asset, particularly for the development of the plantation industry, was a major problem. The Royal Commission on Labor, which had visited Assam much later, made the following observation. Quote, "From the point of view of the employer, the outstanding problem during the whole history of tea planting in Assam has been the scarcity of labor. Where the bulk of the tea gardens stand today, 70 years ago was uncultivated and nearly uninhabited jungle, and for the expansion of the industry, it has been necessary continuously to import fresh labor." Unquote. But the local labor was neither found satisfactory nor were available in plenty. Consequently, the tea planters had to depend on the unscrupulous contractors of Calcutta, who would recruit labor in the impoverished tribal areas of Bengal, Bihar, Chota Nagpur, and other places with false hopes and promises of high salaries, and entice them to migrate to Assam. Although the tea garden workers had migrated from different parts of India with their own distinct cultural and traditional backgrounds, there was wonderful assimilation of these varied cultures as they started living peacefully together. It's a unique example of total integration of diverse cultures. Unlike elsewhere in the country, the tea workers of Assam have developed an emotional integration with the land and its people, and have become an indispensable part of the Assamese society. They feel their lives inseparably linked with the fate of Assam. Quote, "Assam morile, amarao morbo. If Assam dies, so shall we." Unquote. They had once left their hearth and home to come to Assam in search of better living, since in their own land they had suffered a lot of sorrows and faced unspeakable adversities. Chalmini Assam Jabo Deshe Boro Dukhare. Mini, let's go to Assam. It's a miserable life in our land.
আরো পাইব বলে বসে আছো কেনে বন্ধুয়ে তো রাত কেনে বন্ধুয়ে তো রাত কেনে
কি আরো পাইব বলে বসে আছো কেনে বন্ধুয়ে তো রাত কেনে বন্ধুয়ে তো রাত
কেনে After the hard day's work in the evening, they would sit around a small fire and would sing the tales of their woes and sufferings to the tune of the mardol, a tribal drum, and would dance to the rhythm of jhumur. Jhumur's resounding music, notwithstanding its melancholy note, has always been close to the hearts of the tea garden workers. Chumur, however, has many variations, depending on the places of their origin. As the poet says, quote, "Our sweetest songs are those that tell of the saddest thoughts," unquote. Like the blues of the black Americans, these Chumur songs were sonorous and yet fraught with sadness. The most important festivals of the tea garden communities are Tusu, Sohrai and Karam Puja, which are expressive of the rich culture and deep social sensitivity of these colorful people. Despite being a happy mingling of diverse tribes, they have retained the distinct traits of their respective cultures and yet have become metamorphosed to a unique tea tribe who share common traditions. Tusu is observed on the Makar Sankranti day of the month of Paush. It is more of a remembrance day of Tusu. There are several stories associated with the origin of Tusu, but the most plausible one is that Tusu was a beautiful girl born in a tribal family of Bengal. The Nawab, the Muslim ruler of Bengal, was captivated by her beauty and desperately tried to marry her. But Tusu was not inclined to sacrifice her tribal heritage and religion, and to protect her chastity and religion, she sacrificed her life by jumping into the river. The simple tribals could not forget her sacrifice, and to keep her memory alive, started worshipping her as a goddess. This festival is entirely women-centric and all arrangements are made by women. Young girls prepare the altar round which women assemble and sing the glory of Tusu throughout the night. Sometimes a small idol of Tusu is also made and at the end of the festival it is immersed in the river. Songs and dances are the integral parts of the festival. Karam Puja, which is celebrated in the month of Bhado, on the other hand, is based on a legend of two brothers, Dharam and Karam. It's a festival where religion and culture are inseparably mingled. People believe that if Karam is worshipped with devotion, all hopes and desires are fulfilled. The legend associated with Karam, called Kohni, is related by a senior person in course of the Karam Puja. But even here, the leading role is played by women who are called Karmatis, who make all the preparations with utmost devotion. Apart from the religious rituals, at the end of the puja, the Karmatis dance and sway to the tune of various tribal musical instruments and let their hair down. Workers have adopted many local festivals of Assam and observe these every year. They have also made immense contribution to the Assamese music, culture and above all, Assamese literature and have become an integral part of the greater Assamese society. With the passage of time, many changes have come about in their lives and the style of their music, but they have not given up their original culture and traditions, which still hold sway.
Ashadho Shravano কে সোনর পায়ে পাম সজনিল শাওন ভাদর চলি গে শোন ভাদর কে সোনর পায়ে পাম সজনিল শাওন ভাদর চলি গে মাংলে দিছি না হতো না ফুলালি শিকার ঘর ভিতর চলেছু পায়ে সম সজনিল শাওন ভাদর চলি গে ঘর ভিতর রহলিছু পায়ে সম সজনিল শাওন ভাদর
In the rich tapestry of Manipur's history, women have consistently demonstrated their strength, courage, and active participation in various fields, including sports and community life. Manipur is home to the world's only women's market, the Ima Market, and is the birthplace of renowned athletes like MC Mary Kom and Mirabai Chanu. Historically, Manipuri women were pivotal in resisting British colonial rule. Notably, in 1904 and 1939, leaving an indelible legacy of resilience. December 12th is specially significant as it marks Nupilal Day, a day to honor the courageous women who rebelled against British oppression in 1939. Our correspondent J.J. Thokchum brings us an insightful report on the commemoration of this historic event in Imphal.
The courageous and selfless contribution of Manipuri women in different sectors has been known to the present generation. The first Nupilal of Manipur broke out in 1904 against the order by British colonial authorities to send Manipuri men to Kabo Bili of Burma to fetch timber for rebuilding the bungalow of then British officer. The women of Manipur revolt against the order and British colonial rule were compelled to cancel the order. The second Nupilal was took place in December 1939 when indiscriminate rice export from Manipur by King of Manipur, British colonial government and outsider businessmen resulted in a famine-like situation in Manipur even though it was harvest season. Many Manipuri women got injured from the bayonet and butts of British soldiers on December 12, 1939 when women agitated against rice export from the Manipur. And nine women leaders were sent to jail later on. Remembering those brave women, the Nupilal is being celebrated every year on December 12th. J.J. Thokchum, Akashvani News, Northeast Diary, Imphal.
And folks, now we bring the song Nupilan, a tribute to the brave Manipuri mothers and women of Nupilan who rose against the tyranny of the British Empire. The song is sung by Soro Khaiban, America. And with that, we come to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Join us again next week, same day, same time, for more stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye.
This program was presented and produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the News Services Division of Akashvani.